Well, let's take our Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 2 today. Exodus chapter 2, we're on our second lesson of Stand Still and See. I was excited when this poster came in, and I hope that it is as grand as what I told you it would be. Stand Still and See, on the life of Moses. We're going to be in this scripture, and we're also going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 too, so you might want to just stick your finger there. We're going to go back and forth, but I want to read both scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11 and Exodus chapter 2. Today we're going to look at the faith of Moses' parents. Faith of Moses' parents. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there went out a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it on the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's wife said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." The Bible then goes on, and we're going to be kind of back and forth between the two. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, in verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Moses is a great figure in Hebrew history, and today we want to begin our study of Moses by looking at his parents. Quite frankly, they were used of God in a very influential way to save God's emancipator. And because of his parents' faith, I think it's not, he didn't ride on their coattails, but I think the fact of the matter is that they had faith, and God, through his grace and providence, allowed Moses to have faith in God as well. And so Moses had a great family that had faith in God. Now, as we begin our study, we want to consider this stand still and see. And in Exodus chapter 2, that verse right there, verse number 2, I think really stands out to me, because the Bible says right there in chapter 2, verse number 4, "And his sister stood afar off to wit." That word "to wit" is an old English word meaning to know, or to know by, or ascertain by seeing, to know what would be done unto him. And so it's Moses' sister. She's 15 years old. Now, you've probably seen pictures of Miriam as being younger, but she was older than her brothers. Aaron at this time was probably 3 years old. So she is the one who God's going to use because of her parents to stand still and see what God would do. Now, to begin today, I want to give you a background of what was going on in Egypt with the children of Israel. It was dreadful times when you think about it, because it now had been about 350 years since God had Joseph come into the promised land along with his descendants and Jacob and his sons, and there were 70 souls. Now, there's a lot more than that. 350 years have passed, but the problem is it had a very detrimental effect upon the children of Israel. I'd never considered this before until I looked at it, and when I think about the detrimental effect it had on them, I'm thinking also about our day and age and our time, because I think about the promise that God said he's coming again. And we know when we look at Peter, the Bible says that some people are going to say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fall asleep, everything's the same way as it's always been." Well, he said, that's not true, because they're ignorant of the flood. It's not always the same as it always been from the beginning of the creation. So today we see a lack of faith, and there definitely was a lack of faith in that time. There's a fellow by the name of Dean Stanley that said, "The old freedom, the old energy, above all the old religion of the patriarchal age had faded away. Now, there's scriptural evidence that that is what had happened. If you look with me, first of all, in Joshua 24, see what Joshua says here. Because he reminds the people after he, by the providence of God and the captain of the Lord, had conquered the land. He says to them in chapter 24 and verse 14, something that's interesting here. The Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood." Now notice, "and in Egypt." There was a lack of faith. The children of Israel were worshiping idols in Egypt. Not only that, but the Bible also says in another passage, in Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. I want you to see something else that had happened here with the children of Israel. Same idea, same thing. God reminds the nation of their early unfaithfulness. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible says here, "In that day I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then I said unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of your eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." But notice, "They rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt." So they had become polluted. The Sabbath had been forgotten. That circumcision, it hadn't been done. They hadn't done it. You remember the Passover, and I think during the time of the plagues when there was darkness in Egypt itself, but the Bible says that in their houses, in the Israelite houses, they had light. What was that for? Well, I think it was so that they could circumcise their sons and be ready to eat the Passover, because no one could eat the Passover without that being done. So that's perhaps when God allowed them to have some rest and to take care of that. So they had not done that. And that was a significant token of the covenant that God made with Abraham. But it had been 350 years. And they let these things go, and they fell into disuse. And the purity, if I want to put it that way, of the patriarchs had been left for the licentiousness of the Hebrew practice, or heathen practices in Egypt. So they would go back to those again. If you remember, when they got back in Canaan, they picked up idol worship again. And it wasn't very long, because Aaron, you'll remember, made a bull calf. Where'd he get the idea to do that? It was something they'd seen in Egypt. So it didn't take very long for them to fall back into that again. In fact, I really believe there was little faith in Egypt. There were very few people that were listening. And there's this couple, just an ordinary couple. And their names were Amram and Jochebed. But the Bible tells us that they had faith. How do we know that? Because of what Hebrews tells us, definitely, by faith, Moses' parents. And it wasn't just Jochebed. When you read the Bible account in Exodus chapter 2, it looks like it was just Jochebed. But her husband was also involved in that. It's a wonderful thing when a husband and wife are together in faith. And so they were unified. They were together in this when this son was born. And they did not have fear of the king's commandment. Stephen, in his message that he preached before his death, he called that back to remembrance. And he said something about that. He said in Acts chapter 7, he says, they didn't fear Pharaoh's law to cast out their young children, to the end they, and that's the male babies, might not live. So everybody else, it appears, in Israel was fearing the king's commandment. And in the preceding verse in chapter 1, the Bible says that Pharaoh didn't even, he didn't just tell the children of Israel to do this, but he commanded all his people to cast their children into the Nile River for them to be killed. Now, this was an odious thing. It didn't last very long. And one thing that's significant about it is when the days are darkest, that's when you see faith really come to light, when you see God work. Because it appears that Miriam, she's 15, Aaron is 3 years old. There was no commandment about that then. But during the time of Moses' birth, all the male babies, the Israelites and the Egyptians, were to be pitched in the Nile River. Of course, we know that the midwives didn't do that. They didn't. And God, because they feared God, God made them houses, the Bible says. God blesses faith in His Word. And God says that all life is what? Sacred, isn't it? It's all sacred. And so we see here that to obey the law of the land, there were several Israelite people that were doing it. They were throwing their children into the Nile River. And they were doing away with them. But this people, this couple right here, did not do it. You see, when we have to obey the law, man's law, over God's law, it brings fear. There's a fear. But when we obey God's law, there is peace in the midst of what should be fear. And this is what his parents do. In the time which Moses was born, it was a fearful time. But his parents, because they had faith in God, did not fear Pharaoh. They feared God more than Pharaoh. And you see, Moses' parents could live by faith in a terrible situation because they had faith in God. Not unlike our time, because the Bible tells us that the just shall live by his faith, or the just shall live by faith. And in these days in which we are living in America, we have to exercise faith in God. Are we going to obey God or man? It's like Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You tell us not to preach here, we're going to preach because God got us out of jail and told us to preach. And so they did so. They preached. So I want you to notice the observing of faith here. In Exodus chapter number 2, in verse number 2, the Bible says they noticed that Moses was a goodly. He was goodly. In Hebrews, it says that he was proper. He was a proper child. Both those words refer to Moses' appearance, what he looked like. He was a good-looking child. But if we look at Stephen's preaching and what he says in Acts 7:20, he says also that he was exceeding fair. And that dealt with what he appeared like to God. To God, Moses was exceeding fair. Now, that means there was something more than physical beauty associated with Moses. He was a beautiful child, but there was something more beautiful about him. Moses had the touch of God on his life from birth. Now, we shouldn't think that to be strange, because the Bible says that God, he says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I what? I hated. And sometimes the scripture goes on and you're going to say, oh, God's unrighteous. No, God can do whatever he wants to. He can do as he pleases. I think about people that God chose before they were born. He chose John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He was chosen by God. You know, I think about Jedediah. His name was Solomon, yes. And David was told by God that Solomon is the one that I've chosen to be the next king. So God does this. And Matthew Henry had something to say about this. He said this. He said, God sometimes gives early earnestness of his gifts and manifests himself often in those for whom and by whom he designs to do great things. Thus he put early strength in Samson, and early forwardness in Samuel, and wrought an early deliverance for David. You see, faith can perceive much more than what the flesh can perceive. To the king of Egypt, it was, here's just another kid, just pitch him in. But to faith, there's a difference. There's a mark here. There's something unusual. And we need to save this child, not destroy him. So the Bible says they had a priority, and their priority was to hide him, to keep him safe. And the Bible says that they did that for 3 months. Now, how often have we been given the picture of Amram and Jochebed like this? That Amram is anxious and Jochebed's fearful when she finds out, oh no, we've had a child. It's a boy. What are we going to do? No, they weren't that way. The Bible says they were not anxious and fearful. The Bible says that they did not fear the wrath of the king. They were not put out. The Bible says that when she bore a child, when they understood that he was goodly, when they saw he was, that God had a purpose, she and her husband cast their care upon the Lord. That God is going to do something great here. God is able. And when we put our faith in God, there's a peace that comes. The Bible tells us Psalms, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, even this situation, Amram and Jochebed, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Yes, definitely. And so he directed their paths. They were not afraid. They were not afraid. The decree of the king said that Moses must die. However, we know there was a sovereign over that king. And who is it? It's God. He's the sovereign. And God says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His what? Reward. Yes, Psalm 127, verse number 3. So the Bible says, God says that life is sacred. And this heathen king said, no, it's not. For convenience sake, we need to get rid of these children. And of course, the scripture makes it clear that Amram and Jochebed said, we are going to obey God. Period. We're going to obey God. No. They ignored the king's commandment and obeyed a higher law. Thus, Moses was head of his parents 3 months. Now, you can see the priority of faith is obedience to God. The priority of our faith is that I'm going to obey God. I will obey God. And the greater the faith, the greater the obedience. The greater the faith that we have, the greater we're going to obey God and not fear man. Now, Daniel exhibited that, didn't he? When he knew that the decree was signed, what did he do? The Bible says he went back to his house, opened his windows like he had always done, and he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. He was not afraid. I think about the Hebrew trio. I've never heard him called that. Maybe somebody has, but the Hebrew trio, when they knew the command was to bow, when you heard all sorts of music, the cornet, the saxbutt, and all that other stuff, bow the knee to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. They said, no, we will not. We will not, because we're only to worship the true and living God. That's who we're to worship. And of course, they got thrown in a fiery furnace. You see, when we disobey man's commands and the world's commands, there probably will be some kind of repercussions. Daniel got thrown in a fiery furnace, boy, in the lion's den, didn't he? But God sent his angel and shut their mouths. How is that? The greater the faith, the greater the obedience, and God honored him. Why didn't the lions eat him? Because God wanted a testimony for Darius. He wanted a testimony for him so that people would know who the true and living God is. And God will always justify himself. He will always do that when people step out on faith. And then the three Hebrew children, of course, they got thrown in, but they came out. And the miracle of miracles was that there was not even a smell of fire on them. And they were preserved. And God got a testimony. And Nebuchadnezzar, of course, I think we'll see him. I know we'll see him someday. So they obeyed God. They pleased God. Now, in thinking about this, I couldn't help illustrate this in modern times. Because we've all heard it in the news, haven't we, about Kim Davis, the clerk in Rowan County, who said that she would not sign her name to a same-sex marriage license. She would not do it. And I don't know if you picked this up. I did from Fox News. This was before she even went to jail. She said, I've weighed the cost, and I'm prepared to go to jail. I sure am. This has never been a gay or lesbian issue for me. This is about upholding the Word of God. This is a fight worth fighting. Wow. And you realize, if you've seen anything at all about her, is that she actually she just got saved in 2011. And she's the first Christian in America jailed as a result of the Supreme Court's law that two men and two women can get married. Now, as of last Thursday morning, of course, this article said she bristles at the idea that she is a hero of the faith. In her own words, she says, "I'm just a vessel God has chosen for this time and this place. I'm no different than any other Christian. It is my appointed time to stand, and their time will come." Now, you know, this morning she is still in jail because she said, "I will not obey the edict of the Supreme Court, because there's another one that's supreme over that. And God says it's an abomination." Now, I think Amram and Jochebed might have felt the same. We just need to stand. They were just ordinary people. It wasn't something special. As I said last week, if you were to see the quote-unquote heroes of the faith that we talk about, we'd say, what? They just look like normal, ordinary people, just like you and me. And yet they had extraordinary faith in God. And they believed God's word. And they stood upon it. And they obeyed God. No matter what the circumstances, we're going to obey God. And that takes faith. So it's faith that counts. Faith counts. Now, the prudence of the faith. There's wisdom when we follow God and when we follow His ways. And they definitely had wisdom. They had to do that. You know, they had to be very skillful and clever and wise to hide a baby. I mean, babies cry, don't they? Have you had one? Yeah, my grandson. Yeah, he cries, right? Especially newborn babies. They don't cry very loud, but they still cry. They still have to be fed. They still have to be changed and all that kind of stuff. And in the close quarters that they were living, I'm sure, everybody that was close knew. Well, they knew she'd been expecting, right? How do you do that? I'm sure they said, "It's a boy, but we're trusting God." They're breaking the law. And they didn't want to say anything about it, but Amram, he's crazy. He's gone out of his mind. What's Jochebed thinking? You know, we talk. It's no different. It had to have been the same way, but they hid him. And they hid him in a hostile Egyptian environment. You see, people who are wise and who have faith are wise. But not only is their wisdom evident in the hiding of Moses, but also in the placing of Moses. The Bible says that in Exodus there, that his mother, she couldn't hide him any longer, built an ark. A little ark. Now, I want you to understand here. The king's decree was to throw him in the river, right? Well, they were kind of obeying that. They were putting him in the river, but they were putting him in there safely. And the Bible says she made an ark. What ark do you think she thought about, maybe? Because they were good Hebrews. They know the scriptures. Who do they think about? By faith, Noah. It wasn't written that way, but made an ark to the saving of his house. I'm going to make an ark and pitch it with slime and pitch for the saving of my son. And so she had wisdom to do it. But where she placed it, the Bible says, was in the flags. Now, the flags were shorter papyrus. And so it was on the brink, on the side of the river. And it was a good thing she put it on the brink in the flags, because the current of the Nile would take it downriver. So it's a place of protection, is what she did. She put it there. And it was clever. It was prudent. She also placed it strategically where she knew somebody would notice it. And it wasn't just somebody, it was the princess. She wanted the princess to know where that was. Now, you would think that these Hebrews, you know, with the Egyptian princess and everything, you would think that she would bathe at different places at certain times. But apparently, Jochebed knew where that was. Or else God providentially had her go bathe there that day. I don't know. But she knew something about it. She placed it there where somebody important would find it. And so it was that this ark, and whoever found it would find what something good inside, and that was this child. They would open it and have compassion on this child. And they did this, I'm sure, God directing them, because God sees everything. And nothing in our life happens by accident or by chance. There's no luck. It's the providence of God, and He directed her to do this. And she had wisdom because she was trusting God. When we don't trust God, when we throw faith out the window, we're out there, baby, on our own, and you can make some blunders and big mistakes. And so they did this under the direction of God, and she made this ark. And it's interesting that they wanted Pharaoh's daughter to find it, because it was a Jewish philosopher of that day. And this is something that he wrote about that. He reported that at that time, Pharaoh's daughter, though long had been married, did not have any children. And so, you know that daughters need to have children so they can continue the dynasty. If kings don't have descendants, the dynasty comes to an end. And so, she finds him. She has womanly compassion on the child, and then she says, "This one is mine. I'm going to adopt this one." Now, it's amazing, isn't it? And how that happens. So, she was driven by womanly compassion, but a need for a child. Now, if you remember from Hebrews, we said that when God would do something, people lived by faith, sometimes they got deliverance, didn't they? Sometimes they didn't accept deliverance. But what we see in this situation is that God rewards faith. He rewards faith. And there's a prize here for the faith. The Bible says in Exodus that his sisters stood afar off to wit, to know, to see what would become of them. I think she'd already been prompted by her mom to what to do. Make sure that who you see who gets him, and make sure you run over there and say, "Do you want me to find a nurse for this child?" So the Bible says Miriam's 15 years old. She's placed in an inconspicuous place. I don't know how girls can do that. Guys can't do that. But girls are sneaky. I'm not saying Miriam's being sneaky, but she was somewhere where she could watch and see what was going on. All right? Do you think she had a little anticipation? I mean, she'd known what had happened for 3 months in her house. She'd seen the faith of her parents. I think she was a little eager, a little anxious about it. She was eager, she was looking forward to it. Anxious, she was a little nervous. Maybe she was, but she was watching. And the Bible says that Jochebed, she had faith in God. She didn't stick around. She either went back home or went back to her duties, her slave duties. She may have put it there early morning. She left. I don't know why Miriam didn't have to go to job as being 15, but somehow she was there, and she was watching. She was watching to see what would happen. And at the proper time, when Pharaoh's daughter saw it, she ran over there, and she said, "Do you want me to find a nurse?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." Now, when I say she ran over there, I'm sure she didn't just... "Hey, how you doing?" I'm sure she hit the sand on the side of the Nile River. "Mistress, do you want me to find a..." And she was all, you know, pomp and circumstance of the whole thing. And she said, "Go!" And she ran, and she brought back Jochebed. She brought back the baby's mother. And you know, we see here the reward in the fact that now Jochebed didn't have to hide Moses. This was Pharaoh's son. And she got paid for it. She said, "I'll pay you to do this." And according to the time that the Egyptians did it, it was about two and a half, three years before the child was weaned. And so she had him for a significant amount of time. And the irony in this whole thing, too, is that Jochebed and Amram got paid from the king, who said, "You're not supposed to save male babies." It came out of the king's money, treasury, to pay for it. And so that's the great thing about what the Lord does. Just think what that experience did for that teenage daughter. Just think what it did for Miriam and how it increased her faith. And that is what faith can do. So the reward of faith is great. It's wonderful. And we, in our day, in our time, are living in times when we should have been living by faith anyway, and we do. But now is a dreadful time, isn't it, in our country, as we see ourselves turning away from God and turning to idols and turning to everything else. Because the fact of the matter is, when you turn away from God, there's not any void, because you turn to something else. You turn to some other gods, the gods of self, the gods of pleasure, all these other kinds of gods who are not gods. And so it is incumbent upon you and me, as I think back, I was just meditating on how God just allowed us to have this class. It wasn't just an accident that I found that picture. I mean, it was a bigger picture. I wish you could see the whole thing. She has a lot more water there. On what God had done. Stand still and see. And it was the faith of Moses. Our day is requiring people to stand, just like Kim Davis. She said, now's my time. It will be your time. And it may not be in that kind of thing, but it will be something where we have to say it's better to obey God. We will obey God. And will we be counted heroes? No, the greatest hero is the one that pleases God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But I want to please God. Amram and Jochebed wanted to please God. Mrs. Davis wants to please God. To please God. And so there are rewards for pleasing God. And though we may not see it all here, Amram and Jochebed did. They saw the reward of faith, you know. But you and I may not see it here. But it still means, it doesn't mean we shouldn't live by faith. It means we still should. Because there is a reward coming, isn't there? There is a reward that won't pass away for living by faith. And there's a great reward for living by faith. If I can remind you about what the Scriptures say, that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll hear, if we've been faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, it's incumbent upon us to stand still and see. Stand upon God's Word and see what God will do. These are not times to be fearful and to run. There are times to stand and stand upon the Word of God and know what we believe. And this is the firm foundation. It will not pass away. It's truth. And truth, oh, as it's been said in Scriptures, may fall on the street. But it'll rise again. It'll rise again. And when wickedness comes like a flood, God raises up a standard against it. What is it? What's the standard? Truth. And I believe God's Word. I believe it. And you and I must believe it. So, great example from Amram and Jochebed, his parents, by faith. Moses' parents kept him because they believed the truth of God's Word. May God help us in these days and times to be men and women of faith and to stand and see what God can do. Amen? Brother Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer?